Hello. Good morning. My name is Brandon Hendricks. I was a pastor on staff here at Pacific Coast Church for about 7 years. And for the past 3 years, I've been the president and CEO of an organization called Every Generation Ministries that helps churches around the world disciple children and youth into transformative relationships with Jesus. And it is an absolute privilege to be here with you. Before I get to actually share my sermon, though, I've been asked to share some bad news with you. I know, nobody else wanted to do it. So like, you do it, Brandon. Thank you for that. The location where the men's ministry retreat was going to be located is canceling because of the fires. So the men's retreat that was going to be happening this coming weekend is no longer happening. I apologize if you were looking forward to that and now will not be participating. As a consolation prize, though, in this very room on Thursday night, there will be a comedy show for Every Generation Ministries. It's a fundraiser show, but it's actually going to be amazing. We have some of the best comics around coming. And we actually originally had it planned for Saturday at a different venue, but we changed it to Thursday so that it wouldn't conflict with the men's retreat, which it wouldn't conflict with anymore anyway. But nevertheless, we changed it to this room on Thursday night, 7 p.m., so if you want to know more about EGM and watch some amazing comedy, you can do that because you cannot go to the men's retreat. Okay, so we are going to be talking today, oddly, because of the bad news I just shared with you, about good news. And the reason that there's a question mark there is because I question whether or not most people think that it's actually good news. We're going to be talking about how to share the gospel. And the crazy thing is there was a huge study done recently with a big research firm, and they found that about 80% of Christians in America believe that they should be sharing the gospel with other people. Now, that by itself is troubling because Jesus told us we should. So if only 80% of Christians think that what Jesus said is what we should do, that by itself is pretty weird. But it gets worse because if 80% of Christians in America say that they think they should share the gospel, but over 60% say they never do. So 80% says, yes, we should do that. And then 60% say, but I've never done that. So it got me thinking, okay, why is that the case? Why are American Christians just not sharing the good news with anyone? I have a hypothesis. It's probably wrong. But in the first half of each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is telling everybody that he heals or talks to, hey, don't tell anybody. And so I'm thinking, oh, maybe we all just only read the first half of each one of those. And we're like, all right, got the gist of Matthew. Flip over to Mark. Yeah, I got half of that one. That's good. We're like, okay, Jesus, got it. Won't tell a soul. But here's the thing. The second half of all the Gospels, Jesus says, okay, now go tell everyone. Because his time wasn't right. He couldn't rush into having everybody know that he was the Messiah, because then he would have gone from his first sermon to being on the cross, and that would have made the Gospels really short and his teaching very little. And so he knew it had to take time. He had to have time to teach, time to preach, time to train his disciples. But eventually he said, now go tell everybody. And yet we're not. It's part of the incredible joy and also part of the difficulty about the role I'm in now is I travel a lot. And some of the places I travel to are countries where if somebody shares the gospel with their neighbors, it's a crime. And they can go to prison or even be executed for that crime. And yet I go there and I meet with Christians there, and they're so eager to share the good news of Jesus that they're risking it all. They're committing that crime in order to share Jesus with other people. And then they look at American Christians and go, what is going on in America? And I'm saying, I don't know. I don't know. We're just like, don't want to. There's a quote that I heard. Actually, I've heard it multiple times. I even heard it in a sermon once. And it's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. And the quote says, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. That's a clever quote. It makes us like, oh yeah, that's good. I like that. Because it means I can just live as a Christian, never actually have to tell anyone about Jesus. There's two problems with this quote, though. First, he never said it. It's not a real quote. It just, somebody said it once, and then someone else quoted that person having said it, and eventually everyone's like, yeah, they just source someone else who said he said it. The reality is he never said it. And we've gotten so many quotes out there of him saying it that now people don't even question it. But I saw a quote the other day by Abraham Lincoln that says, don't believe everything you read on the internet. So there you go. He never said it, and it's unbiblical. He never would have said it because it's exactly the opposite of what the Bible says. In fact, the very last words that are recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus says something very different than that nonsensical quote. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Not live as disciples, not be disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So if that's what Jesus said, he said, go preach the gospel, then why aren't we preaching the gospel? Now, first, I want to break down the word gospel. The word gospel means good news. In Greek, it's the word evangelion, and that breaks into two words. Ew, in English, means gross. Especially if you say it like that, ew. But in Greek, it means good. Ew is good. And we see that in English in the word eulogy, which means to say something good about someone after they've died. Euphoria, which is something so good, it like transports you to another state of mind. So that word ew is good. And gelion or angelion is a message. And the word angel means messenger, someone who brings a message. And someone who brings the good news, the evangelion, is an evangelist. So if you deliver good news, you are an evangelist. And at this point, you might be like, oh, well, there we go. I am not an evangelist, so it's someone else's job to deliver the good news who is an evangelist. But the problem is, you are an evangelist. We all are. If something good happens to you, what's the first thing you want to do? Tell somebody, right? Every one of us, if something really good happens, we're like, who can I call? Or, you know, lately it's just post it online. Look at this awesome thing. We want to share it. Your kid scores a goal, share it. Something awesome happens in your family, share it. Someone gets engaged, share it. Everything that good that happens, we have a compulsion, we have a desire to share it. I actually got someone wanted to connect with me on LinkedIn recently, and their job title was evangelist. And I thought, oh, they go tell people about Jesus. I clicked on their profile. No, that's a job profile, a job title now for brands. He's a brand evangelist for some random brand, just telling people the good news that this brand exists. And so I did a job search and found that there's Apple is hiring brand evangelists. You can get paid by Apple just to tell people the good news. Have you ever heard of Apple? No. So brands are hiring evangelists, and the bride of Christ, who should have all the evangelists it ever needs, we're like, I don't know. And I have to, at some point, question whether for some of us it comes down to the fact that we don't actually believe it's good news. Because if you have something that's truly good news, you share it. So if we are not sharing the gospel, it's probably because we haven't truly experienced the gospel. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, is a passage that I come back to over and over again because it just speaks to me over and over again. I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm fully living this out. It says this: according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, if we were filled with the fullness of God, if the gospel was so poured into us that we were filled up with it, we would have no choice but to live the gospel, because it would be all that's in us. The gospel in every single person starts as a seed. The seed of the gospel, this tiny little seed. The hope, though, is that the gospel would grow and grow and grow and grow until it consumes us. When I was young, one of my older cousins told me that if I swallowed a seed of a watermelon, it would grow in my belly and eventually come out my ears. And I was terrified of that happening. And so I was always really careful never to swallow a seed. And one day I did, and I was like, no! It's gonna happen. That can't actually happen, by the way. Not trying to scare anybody. But that is what happens with the gospel. When the gospel truly takes root in you, it grows and it grows and it grows until it actually begins to flow out of you. When you experience the fullness of God, then you finally know why the good news is good news, why the gospel is good news that should be shared. And if you, as you look at the gospel, think it's okay news, it's not great news, then this is where you need to land for a while, experiencing the height and depth of the fullness of God. So the first step to sharing the good news is to actually live the gospel. Live the gospel. Let the gospel take root in you and grow and grow and grow until it is the gospel more so than you that's living through you. Now, maybe that's not the issue. Maybe you're like, yeah, I know the gospel. I love Jesus. I know the good news, but I still don't want to share it with other people. Then the issue for you is not living the gospel, it's the next piece. 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So it doesn't take too long being in church and Christianity to recognize that love is a central theme. And it's not that it's a theme because God is loving. It's a theme because the essence of God is love. It's not an attribute. It's his essence. So much so that it says, anyone who does not love doesn't know God. You can't know God and not love the people around you. And if you claim to, it just points right back to the fact that you actually don't know God. You have some version of an idea of God, but you don't know God because God is love. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the most important thing in all the Bible? He answered, it's love. Not once, but twice. It said in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, everything in you, love God. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, everything else depends. The law, the prophets, the whole Bible, everything depends on love. Love God, love people. You can't separate the two. You can't say, I love God, but I don't love the people around me. It actually just proves you don't know or love God. Because you can't know and love God and not love the people he created in his image. I have a friend who's a missionary, and he grew up in a predominantly Muslim country, and he went to boarding school in that country. And at boarding school, as he got a little older, he had the freedom to leave the school and go into town. And he did, and he became friends with a kid that was his age. And this kid was Muslim. But they became really, really good friends. And they would hang out hours a day together. And it finally came time for my friend to leave the boarding school. And on his last day, he went to find his friend in town, and when he found him, he expected his friend to be sad because he was so sad, but his friend wasn't sad, he was angry. He went to him, he said, well, what's going on? He goes, do you believe in Jesus? And my friend was like, yeah. He goes, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to know God? My friend says, yeah. He goes, then you lied to me. He goes, well, what do you mean? How did I lie to you? He said, you said we were friends. You said we were best friends. You said that you loved me. But you never told me how to know and follow Jesus. So I know that you lied and you never loved me and we're not friends. And he turned and he ran away, and it's the last time my friend ever saw him. And he said, that's actually one of the reasons that he felt convicted to go be a missionary. It's because of that interaction and never wanting to let another opportunity to tell someone about Jesus go by without sharing Jesus with them. He said, because I really did love him and I never told him about Jesus. That same study I was talking about earlier found that 80% of American non-Christians said that they would be open to having a conversation about Jesus with someone who's a Christian. 80%. That was way higher than I expected it to be. And those same people said that Only 30% of those people said that anybody had actually ever told them about Jesus. But almost every single one of them said they had close friends who were Christians. I'm going to read to you the rest of the passage in 1 John that we read earlier. Chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." If you saw someone who was dying of thirst, and you had a jug of water, and you refused to share it with them, it could not be said of you that you were loving. But if we have the good news, the gospel, and we truly believe it, we believe that Jesus came and died and rose again, and that he makes a way for us to have a relationship with the Father and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we don't share it with the people around us, it cannot be said of us that we are loving. And according to this passage, it can't even be said of us that we know God. So that may be for you where it breaks down, that you know the gospel, you're living in the gospel, but you need to love the neighbors. You got to take that next step and say, "God, because of your love for me, I want it to overflow on those around me. I want to love the neighbors." Notice I didn't say your neighbors, because it'll make you go, okay, well, the person to my right, person to my left, got it. No, the neighbors, all the neighbors. Love all the neighbors. We got to love them all. Now I know that even at this point, we can have a lot of excuses. Okay, I love God, I love the neighbors, but, you know, I mean, there's this reason, there's that reason. So I want to go through some excuses. I can't go through all of them. We'd be here the rest of the day. But I've heard some excuses, and so I want to dispel some of them. The first is, I'm not a good enough person. You know what? You're right. You're not. You know who else isn't? Every other Christian on the planet, every pastor, every preacher, every evangelist, every missionary, none of us are good enough. That's why we need Jesus. Nobody's good enough. If we were, we wouldn't need Jesus. Now, I do want to mention here, though, that sin is real. And if you are living in sin, the Holy Spirit may be convicting you of sin, and there's a difference between conviction and guilt. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit and moves you forward, moves you out of that sin, through that sin, and into holiness. Guilt comes from the enemy and keeps you stuck. They both center around your sin, but one of them keeps you stuck, and it's the enemy using it as a tool to bash you over the head, and the other is the Holy Spirit trying to move you to a place of holiness. So recognize the difference between the two. But if you say, "I'm not good enough to share Jesus," okay, now what? Allow that conviction to move you towards holiness in Christ, so that you don't have to live in that place. You're never going to be good enough, but if that conviction is moving you to a place of greater holiness, that's great, but you can share Christ while in process, because you will never not be in process. Another excuse I hear a lot is, I don't know enough. Great. That's a good place to be. Recognizing that you don't know everything is actually really healthy. In fact, 1 Corinthians 8:1 says that that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. I love that passage. Because if you're built up, if you're growing and maturing and building in love, then knowledge has a place to go, and a purpose. because you're filled with love, and that love is going to pour out on the people around you. If you're not filled with love, then that knowledge has nothing to do but to be hot air. It just puffs up, it puffs you up, and then you just spew that hot air on everybody and tell them how smart you are and how great you are. I don't want you to have knowledge, I want you to have love. And that love that you are built up in will naturally drive you to the Word of God, that will naturally fill you with the knowledge of God, but now it will have a place to be and a purpose for being. There's an account in John chapter 9 of Jesus healing a blind man, and the blind man is dragged before the religious leaders, and this guy has literally no clue who Jesus is. Not a clue. And they're like, tell us, who is he? Is he a sinner? We know he's a sinner. Just say he's a sinner. He's like, I don't know. I was blind, now I can see. That's all I got for you. And they kept pushing him and pushing him. He's like, why do you want to know more? You want to be his disciples? Like, this guy's evangelizing the religious leaders, and he has no idea what he's even talking about. Later, Jesus actually comes to him. He's like, hey, do you want to believe in me? And he's like, I don't know who you are. He's like, I'm Jesus. And he's like, well, then yes, I do. He became a Christian after he became an evangelist. You don't have to know everything. Just be willing. That's all. Last one is, I don't know how. Well, this excuse is garbage because, raise your hand if you've never heard of the internet. Yeah, zero of us. I don't know how to change the rear light on my car, but it went out and I got online. I said, how do I change the rear light in my car? And 10 minutes later, I was changing the rear light on my car, not because I knew how, but because I got the tools to do it, and you can too. It's very easy. This is a garbage excuse. Don't use it. I want to share one more. It's not on here, but somebody shared it with me after the first service. They said, you know what? I don't share the gospel anymore because I've been burned too many times. I've been shut down too many times. I've had people angry at me or yell at me too many times. I have been there. I have a friend who I've been friends with for a long, long time. And I've been looking for ways to share the gospel with him. And I had shared the gospel with him multiple times. And one day we were playing disc golf together. And disc golf is like golf, but for poor people. And we put a dollar per hole on, like, whoever won each individual hole. And so we kept track. And at the end, he owed me $4. And so I was like, oh, this is my opportunity. And so he's like, all right, I owe you $4. And I was like, you know what? I've been forgiven of so much more by Jesus. Just don't worry about it. And he's like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to pay you $5 now just so you never say anything like that to me again. And so I made an extra buck. It was worth it. But that was his response almost every time I would throw Jesus into a conversation. And years later, this was probably 10 years ago, that conversation, about 5 years ago, he called me to tell me that he had become a Christian and he was following Jesus and that he was thankful for all the seeds that I planted along the way. So I just want to say, and I hadn't put that in there, it just came to me when I talked to that woman earlier today, but I just want to say, you can get shut down over and over and over and over and still be planting seeds that eventually bear fruit. So leave the excuses. Live the gospel. Love the neighbor. Leave the excuses. There's a passage I absolutely love, and I think it communicates most clearly in the New Living Translation, which I usually don't use, but it's Romans 10, verses 13 and 14. It says, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him being Jesus? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? My firstborn son died when he was 8 years old. And we had his funeral right here in this room. His principal at his elementary school was one of the people who spoke at his funeral. And she said that she has been an educator for over 30 years, public education, CUSD. And my son Xander was the first kid in all those 30 years to come up to her and say, "Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Would you like to?" Now, she already did, but she said, "I've never had a kid ask me that, ever. There was something different about him." I'm so proud. I'm so proud that that was his legacy. And if he can do it, we can do it. We live the gospel, love the neighbors, leave the excuses. We're going to leave a legacy. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel. Lord, thank you for giving us the good news that we couldn't earn, we don't deserve. But now we have the privilege to share with the people around us. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the courage and the passion to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming.